The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After a year of falling in love, Ian and Larissa talked about getting married. Then in a horrific accident, Ian received a traumatic brain injury.
Even though it was technically an option that I could have chosen something else, it wasn't really an option in my heart because I didn't want to have a life without Ian. You know, he's my best friend and I knew he wouldn't leave me if the role were reversed.
A truly powerful love story, next on Life Today.
Thank you. Y'all are gracious and welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are, I guess we're both fairly tenderhearted. I think sometimes maybe I'm, you know, I think sometimes my heart's too tender. But it really isn't. I think too often we're hard-hearted. But, you know, I've had a few things move me, like the story I'm holding here that 8:28. You wonder what's the significance of it. Well, you'll want to know. This beautiful girl here and this young man here were dating and in love, and it talked about engagement and marriage. And then Ian had an accident in his little SUV. It ran under a truck, and he suffered traumatic brain damage. And there was nothing good about the effect. But the amazing thing is that this girl that loved this strong, physically outgoing guy had a wonderful father and family and dad. Maybe you're going to learn a little bit about him. He was really hurt bad, but this girl, Betty, she said, you know, I'm going to marry him. Even though she knew that he'd been terribly disabled and she was going to have to care for him. Betty, when I watched it, you know, you didn't have to be with me when I saw the presentation. It was almost more than I could contain. I actually told Larissa and Ian, I don't think I feel worthy to even sit in the room with you because I don't know when I've seen any greater manifestation of love. I want you to welcome Ian and Larissa Murphy to Life Today. Would you give them a big welcome? I'm glad to see y'all. Larissa, you really, you know, you'll have to help Ian express himself. I know it won't be because he's not trying. He's going to give it a bigger effort than most folks. Mm-hmm. But I could tell that you weren't doing something out of just some kind of mere duty or, well, you know, be the thing to do. You loved him and I think you somehow felt like if it happened to you, he'd love you. Is that? Mm-hmm. Tell me what was going on. Why in the world would you take a step? There was no official engagement. There was no wedding date set. But why did you? Mm-hmm. Why were you moved the way you were moved?
Well, Ian was and still is my best friend. And thinking about what life would be like without him was less appealing than a difficult life with him. And kind of as we were writing the book and I was needing to rehash like my decision and what did lead to that, it really stood out to me, especially then the examples of marriage that we had between both of our parents and how that was such a, in ways we didn't realize, that was an example and found myself making hard decisions just like our parents had and committing to each other and to love and marriage. Mm-hmm. And so we had great examples of that in both of our families. And it just, even though it was technically an option that I could have chosen something else, it wasn't really an option in my heart because I didn't want to have a life without Ian. And I especially didn't want to make that decision before he could talk. It was 2.5 years between his accident and when he regained his speech. And so I especially didn't want to make any decisions until I could hear what he was thinking and Ian, what your perspective was on things, because that just didn't seem fair. Mm-hmm. But it all, I think, boils down to just, you know, he's my best friend, and I knew he wouldn't leave me if the role were reversed.
Were you, Ian, surprised that after you had been hurt that she still wanted to marry you? Did that surprise you a little bit?
A little bit is a key phrase.
What's a little bit is a key phrase?
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you saw the love was real, so it didn't overwhelm you. And would you have done the same for her if she'd been hurt?
Yeah. It'd be really awkward if you said no at this point.
There you are. Give a little facial instruction there. This would be an awkward no right now. It's time to say no. I want to hear, Betty, did you want to jump in here and ask anything?
I remember before we started taping you, when we were visiting with you, you also told us that you were a fairly young Christian at the time the accident happened, right?
I was. I mean, you know, I'd been raised in a church and with parents who fear God, but my heart wasn't changed until college. And by the time of Ian's accident, I'd really only been walking with the Lord for about a year. So I was very, very new. And even though I, you know, had heard scripture growing up, it wasn't registering in my heart. And so I was kind of thrown into having to learn these huge truths about God that feel like they would have been easier if I had years and years and years of God's faithfulness to look back on. But that was one of the ways that Ian's parents, I moved in with Ian's parents when Ian was in the hospital, and that was one way that they were huge in helping me to guide me through scripture of what does it mean to be sorrowful yet always rejoicing? What does joy look like in a trial? What does it mean in Romans 8:28 where it says God works all things together for our good? So they were so instrumental in helping me because I was so young in the Lord.
You know, I wonder if you could take us to that time when that accident occurred and what was, you know, going on in your mind. What were you thinking, or what did you think, or what had you been thinking?
Well, the day of the accident, his mom and I were at a wedding shower, ironically, and we just got a phone call from his dad that Ian had been in an accident and was in surgery in Pittsburgh. And so we had no other details than that until we actually got to the hospital. And the whole time I was thinking and praying, God, let it be anything but his brain. And then we found out it was. And I mean, anytime you're kind of thrown into this type of situation, it's all very blurry. And I know I didn't really process how close to dying Ian was, but Ian, at one point, he was failing 4 out of 5 brain activity tests, and we had to contact the funeral home. And so we were going through the motions of this might be the last we see Ian. And I remember just praying that God would spare him, but didn't, I know I was totally relying on other people's faith who were praying for us, because it was just totally chaos even in my mind and trying to process through things.
I wonder if you would like to explain why the kind of unusual title 8:28, because it has more than one very special meaning. Would you mind telling us what the significance of this is?
Do you want to answer that one?
Oh, yeah, our
wedding anniversary and our favorite verse, and also Ian's dad's.
This is your wedding anniversary date.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Romans 8:28.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, quote it.
For we know that God works all things together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's been so helpful. And also his dad's birthday.
All things for good. It's his dad's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to hear about dad. What influence did dad have? And tell us about his dad.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that your dad taught you most in life?
How to love people.
how to love people. Yeah, Ian's dad was, he had been a pastor and knew God's word, and we just kind of sum him up as he was a good man, and he worked hard for his family and raised, he has four boys and a little girl, raised them to fear God, and he was Ian's number one advocate from the day of the accident. And then in 2009, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so for 7 weeks, he only lived 7 weeks past his diagnosis. And even then, he fought hard for his family, and he wanted to make sure that we were all going to be okay. And one of his main concerns was Ian's future and making a decision. At the time, we were just dating, and he wanted us to make a decision to either go separate ways or get married and not just stay in an ambiguous relationship. And he fought hard for Ian. Do you want to add anything about your dad?
He had a very profound impact. When we were talking, just our little circle together, my heart really broke because I told Larissa that when I saw their story, which I just saw a video clip of the story and the wedding and the difficulty of her groom and everything to happen and the love that was there, I thought, this is amazing. And then when I talked to them both and knew that a man had this kind of effect on him as a father, that it really hit me hard, because we've got a fatherless nation. And I believe God's going to use the two of you to inspire fathers. And I believe, Larissa, that you moved me before I ever met you when I saw your story, because this love that you have is bigger than you. You can't muster it up. Mm-hmm. And you're working very hard, and it's got to be difficult. And I really believe, Ian, that God wants to use you. And we had a real special prayer time for God to restore his body. And you know what I found myself thinking while I was praying for his body? That maybe God, the Father, looks down and says, I wish my body would get out of the wheelchair. I wish my body, the church, would get healthy. And maybe Ian can be an inspiration to all of us to see that what's going to get us healthy is the love of the Father in our heart, Betty, that I see in Larissa. Don't you see that in her?
Absolutely.
And I so long for this. And I've tried to be a good father and a grandfather, not having the patterns always. But I'm just really asking you to join. And I want you to get this book. It's a phenomenal love story, I'm telling you. And it was the result of the inspiration of just somebody on this beautiful couple. You have a website, and you believe God wants to use you, and there are going to be people who will know you can help them and bless them. Mm-hmm. But I believe there are people watching who may feel called to help you, you know, do what God's called you to do, that'll have a real identity with you. What's the website?
Our website is just ianandlarissa.com. And where that really started was at the time of Ian's accident, we needed a way to communicate to people what was happening with him and all of the updates on surgery. And so a friend started a blog that was just called Pray for Ian. And from there, for 8 years now, we've had people just following us and praying for us. And, you know, at this point, we are kind of at, God, what do you want with our lives? What do you want to continue to do through our story? And any prayers for people, you know, for people to be offering prayers for God to just guide us and help us to know what our generation needs to hear and know how God wants to use us. And, you know, we have so many examples of scripture of God using the weak, and to the world, Ian would be considered to be very weak. But we know that God is mighty through him, and so we want to just continue to offer our lives and whatever way God will use them.
Well, you know, a lot of us see people every day that seem to have everything that mm-hmm. in the physical. You know, they've got their health, for one thing. They've got all the material things they might need, but yet they're miserable and they're unhappy. They have no peace, no joy. But I see all of that on the two of you. Such peace and joy and the love of God just flowing out through your being. And I know God's going to richly bless both of you.
And I want the camera over here to zoom in on this right here, this picture. And I just pray that every one of you right here would know that this is really the way the Lord wants to take your hand. And He took mine as a fatherless boy. And I think I probably tried to shake loose. He's really persistent. He holds on. And He wants to hold on to you. He wants you to reach up and take His hand and know He'll never let you go. And you ask Him to forgive you and to give you life through Christ Jesus and let Him know you give Him your life. Tell Him that. You want somebody to pray with you. I wrote a book called Knowing God as Father, which that's what happened to me. I'd be glad to send it just because I want to know God as my Father. Just call. We'll agree with you and pray with you. I want all of you here in the audience, would you just say thanks to God and to Larissa? Okay. I do just thank you for being such a wonderful audience. You know, I hope you'll tell your friends to watch Life Today, because we try to share life every day. But, you know, tell your friends that they can go to lifetoday.org and they can click on this program and you can encourage people to watch it, any of our guests, to be blessed. And then I want to say this to you. We have a chance to make all the difference in people's lives. 25 years ago, I started walking with a missionary in Africa. Our whole lives were changed, and we've been to the ends of the earth to do what I said a while ago, put God's hand in a little hand. I want you to listen to my mission co-laborer, the overseer of all our African outreach, Peter Pretorius. Just happened. He asked an unusual question with Tammy Trent standing by. I want you to watch what these women said. I want you to watch what mothers and grandmothers said. Just please watch how they responded to Peter Pretorius in Angola, where there's a horrible drought. Watch this.
But he must do it off to me. Okay. Have any of you mothers here ever lost a child because of malnutrition, of a lack of food? And if you've lost more than one, then show us how many you've lost by showing us how many fingers. That one's lost five. That one's lost five.
She's lost
and seven. Oh, Jesus. And I mean nearly all of them. Eh? I think it is beyond words. I think it is absolutely horrible. I mean, I struggle even for words to be able to explain what feelings are in my heart. And I've never lost one of my kids. I've never lost one of my grandkids. And I just think if one of my precious little grandkids, if I lost them, what it would mean. And imagine if I lost them to starvation and I couldn't actually do anything about it because I didn't have any food. I didn't have any means to be able to help my child, you know, and watch that child die in front of me. Well, this woman's watched 10 of them die in front of her. Please, James, let's do this and let's do it now.
Oh boy, I just, would you please help us, Betty? What goes on in your heart when you see that? I just can't believe when Peter sent that back to me.
That's a powerful question. I can put one finger up. I've lost one child. But there's so many, our child wasn't because she was hungry. Our child got all the care and the need that we could offer her and the help. But these children, they lost their children because they just didn't have anything to eat. I can't even imagine. We can make the difference in that. I mean, it should not be. It breaks God's heart. It should break our hearts. I hope you'll help us. Let's help get the food to the children. This is not a way for them to have to die. It's not at all. They need to live. They need to be able to play. They need to be able to smile. Please join with us.
And I really ask you to please just move to the telephone or go to your desktop or your laptop or whatever and go to lifetoday.org or dial the telephone number and just say, look, I'm going to help feed children. I'm going to give those kids, I'm going to give them a little bowl of warm, nutritious, vitamin-enriched nourishment that will stabilize the situation, save their lives, give them a future. And when they get stable, we'll keep feeding at the school areas to keep them going to school. In other words, we're going to do whatever it is to change a life, and we'll win them to Christ because we're going to show them the love of Christ. And we're going to love them if we never got to talk to them, because love talks. But we do get to tell them about Jesus and about God's love, because it's His love that moves us. And I'm asking you to help us save all those lives. We've said many times, there's not a person watching that if you could have helped our daughter win her battle with cancer, you would have. I know you would have. But we can see. Well, like Betty said, we did everything we needed to do. We prayed, trusted God. And she's just doing awesome now, no doubt. But here's the thing, her children are, and her family, they're full of God. But we can save these little children. And we can get them in the feeding lines. We can give them the nourishment. So when I say we, that's us together, not me and Betty. We're among the strongest, most faithful givers of our whole ministry because we believe it. We've been our lives. We've gone to the ends of the earth to try to put God's arms around hurting people. And we'll never stop. You help us do that. So we're asking you today to help us feed hundreds of thousands of children for the next several months. And a gift of 30, 50, or 100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. We'll send you some beautiful gifts, a devotional book, a beautiful study Bible that is absolutely fabulous. Beautiful leather bound, easy to read, big print, just to help you. It's a beautiful reference Bible. And I'm asking you to give us a chance to bless you, but bless others by making the largest gift you can. Lifetoday.org, make it online or write a check to Life and call us. Call that number. Others are calling to give their life to God today, to turn it over to Christ. I know that. But you call to say, I'm going to give somebody life because He gave us life, and we're going to share His love. Please do that. Please make the call. Be persistent if you get busy and say, I'm going to make the call. I'm going to save some precious mother's child or grandparent's grandchild. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give them a chance. Thank you for making that call. Don't let anything stop you, and may God direct you in your giving. Thank you for your love.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and even some Ebola-threatened areas of Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, $100, or $300 will help feed and care for 3, 5, 10, or 30 children for the next 3 months. With your support and the partnership of others, your gift goes a long way to help save lives. Please call us, write, or go online today and make your gift. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a brand new 31-day devotional featuring inspiration from a variety of special guests of Life Today and an instrumental worship CD to bless you in your quiet times with the Lord. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the NIV Larger Print Leather-Bound Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
From the depth of my heart, I thank you so much. I do hope, you know, we talked about how a little does so much. I do need, because there's, Peter Pretorius told us he's found some areas where there's up to 100,000 children that absolutely, if we don't have a miracle response, we're going to lose them. $1,000 will feed 100 children. I need a lot of people to say, I can do that. I might even be able to do more. Most of the gifts come with the 30 and the 50 and the 100, but we need some big help. We'll gladly send you 828. What a phenomenal love story. If you'd like to have it, just ask for it. It's in the bookstores. There is the website again for Larissa and Ian. God may lead you to have them some way, to help them. You do what God directs. Would you say thanks again to Ian and to Larissa? We love y'all. Thank y'all for being here. Really appreciate it. Very, very much. God bless all of you for being friends for life. Thanks for sharing life.
Tomorrow, author Steve Scott challenges everyone to let the greatest words ever spoken bring new vision, power, and joy into your life. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.